I am Linda van Tilburg for Biz News. U.S. President Donald Trump has issued an executive order to halt financial aid to South Africa, following through on a threat he made earlier. Trump stated that the decision was in response to South Africa's new land expropriation law. Additionally, he mentioned that Afrikaners experiencing racism could seek resettlement in the U.S. Well, to help us navigate the implications of this executive order and explore how South Africa might mitigate its negative impacts, we have Neil Diamond from the South African Chamber of Commerce in the U.S. joining us from Atlanta. Hi, Neil. Thanks for joining us on a Sunday evening of all times.
Hi, Linda, and hello to all your viewers.
Well, before we get into the commercial implications of this, tell us, I heard you've been inundated by, calls from South Africa wanting to immigrate to the U.S.
Well, Linda, thank you very much for that question. In the first few hours after the news broke and it went live, we received thousands of emails, text messages, WhatsApps, Facebook Messenger messages, and to an extent that our system actually crashed. We couldn't deal with just the sheer volume that was coming through. What we have done is we've subsequently put a link on our website where people can register for information only. It's not to register for benefits or anything to become a refugee. It's just so that we can share information. At this stage, we've had outreaches of over 17,000 South Africans expressing interest in becoming refugees in the United States of America.
No, they were Afrikaans.
Well, to be honest with you, how do you test an Afrikaner? I've got an English name and an English surname, but I know if we start conversing in Afrikaans, you will hear that I'm a native speaker. I grew up Afrikaans, went to an Afrikaans primary school, high school. I'm the product of the Rand Afrikaans University. So, how are we fully going to define that? I don't know if they're all Afrikaans. Most of the emails I received were in English, most of them were on behalf of their families. So up and above the number that I have mentioned, which is well over 17,500, we can time that by about four if we look at families and added family members. At this stage, we're estimating about 50,000 people reached out to us in the last 2 days, warm bodies that would like to move to the United States from South Africa. And that's shocking.
So that might actually be how many with their families?
Well, we're saying 50,000 with their families because we're talking about a figure of 17,500 that have reached out to us. But there's no way of quantifying this. Further to that, this is honestly hot off the press. This happened at 5 p.m. U.S. time on the East Coast that we got this news, or that this news broke. This news broke in South Africa during the nighttime of Saturday morning. So we've got no further information other than the executive order. We don't know how it's going to be implemented. What are the scale and scope of that? How are we going to define Afrikaners? That is all information that we are still waiting for. As the South African Chamber of Commerce in the U.S., we have reached out to the U.S. mission in South Africa. We wrote a letter to the Charles d'Affaires. As you know, the U.S. ambassador to South Africa returned early January to inquire as to the process that would be followed to firstly get South Africans onto a list somewhere, and then secondly, what would be the criteria? How would they adjudicate that? What's the process that will be followed to resettle South Africans to the United States? So at this stage, there's not much that we can share. We know that the impact's going to be severe, and we know that the overwhelming number that have expressed interest will only grow in the coming weeks and days.
Some are actually upset and don't want to be, say, what we Afrikaners, we're staying, we don't want to be associated with that. And as you say, other people see it as an opportunity. So people view it differently.
Well, I think what we have pleaded with our South African brothers and sisters is to at least maintain decorum and respect for one another. Both you and I are South Africans that are no longer resident within South Africa. And we should not denounce those that have got the desire to join us in other parts of the world. At the same time, we respect those that decide to stay Because South Africa is an amazing country. It's the country of our birth. That is the country where we all would like to be. And we miss it every single day of our lives. Africa is us more than what we are still in Africa. But we want to at least allow those that have come to a juncture in which they have said, our futures and our strategic direction does not align with where South Africa is at this stage. And a very easy way to explain it, I wasn't born in Nelspruit. I love to say that I wasn't from Nelspruit, but I was definitely born to be in Nelspruit. I came to the US from Nelspruit, but I was born somewhere else in South Africa. But I got to a day where I decided, but I do not want to be in that community anymore. I don't align to what is in that community. And I decided to relocate to Nelspruit. There's many people that have moved out of Gauteng down to the Eastern Cape, Southern Cape, Western Cape, people that have moved down to KwaZulu-Natal, people that have moved up north. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you or that you've got a hatred for Gauteng because you're now just living somewhere else in the country. The same would apply for a South African that have decided that they do no longer want to live within the borders of the country. Being a South African is not a geographical space. You're a South African. I'm a South African. I may not necessarily be within the boundaries of the country. So I think in that regard, we don't need to cut one another to pieces on social media and within the public domain. We can just allow one another enough space, as we did back in 1994, when our country became a democracy. We opened the doors for everyone to say, this is a new country with new parameters, with new rules. South Africa is becoming a new nation of people living across the globe. Both in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Great Britain, Europe, and America. So we'd like to just ask people to respect one another while we are moving through this transition. And we don't know how it's going to play out as yet, but we think that there's a lot of animosity happening, which is unnecessary.
Yep. So let's look at the business implications. That's serious.
On the business side, we are severely concerned about the impact. So let me just unpack it for your viewers. The binational trade between South Africa and the United States was at $21 billion in 2023, with exports from South Africa being roughly about $8 billion and imports making up the balance, about $13 billion. Just under AGOA, the U.S. Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, it's not a trade agreement, it's a legislative framework allowing African manufacturers to export tariff-free to the United States. The exports amounted to $6.5 billion. Now, if we just unpack it a little bit further, the main beneficiaries of that are South African manufacturers in the automotive sector, in agricultural sector, and in the manufacturing sector. So NAMASA, which is the South African Motor Vehicle Association, Manufacturers Association, estimates that 86,000 jobs could be at risk. Our own internal team estimates that to be about 50,000 jobs that could be at risk. The question that we ask is, can South Africa afford to lose even one job? Because our focus should be job creation, economic development and economic growth, not job destruction, job losses. The Reserve Bank estimated South Africa's growth for this year to be 1.8%. And there's an optimistic view from business that that should be expanded to an economic growth of approximately 3%. The reality is, if we lose the figures that I've just mentioned, and we're talking about US dollars, if we speak about South African rands, AGOA delivers about 130 billion South African rands. The bilateral trade exceeds 400 billion South African rands. That South Africa's economy cannot afford to have such an impact. And that would definitely have a severe economic hardship as a result. When we get back to the second part of this, which is really the offer to Afrikaners to be relocated as refugees to the United States, we know that that offer was made in the context of the Land Expropriation Act. But it did not limit that only to the Land Expropriation Act. President Trump said the act followed
countless government policies designed to dismantle equal opportunity in employment, education, and business, which means any minority in South Africa that has had an adverse experience because of the color of their skin. And let's be honest, the last 30 years have been a very difficult transition in terms of legislation like the BEE legislation, affirmative action, employment equity, and various other legislative frameworks that puts a huge crosscut of our minority population as those that are referenced by President Trump, not just the Afrikaners. So let's just stop at the Afrikaner for a moment. Those that are on farms in rural communities in South Africa are really the ones that allow food security in South Africa. South Africa is one of the few countries in the southern tip of Africa that enjoys healthy food security. Now, I know there's a lesson that somebody once taught me, and that is never criticize a farmer with a food if you have a food full of mouth full of food. If we lose that community that are mainly our commercial farmers or a portion of them, we're actually having a situation where South Africa's food security is at risk. And the second part of it is those that are not farmers are all within some form of a business environment, be it medical, be it legal, be it in an accounting profession, or be it small business owners. I do foresee this as a significant problem. And I think that the impact on the South African economy at this stage is not being viewed as serious. We are still at the stage where we're looking at the geopolitical relationship, the political issues between South Africa and the US. We're not even at the stage where we're contemplating what the economic impact would be for South Africa.
Well, let's look at AGOA. Are you worried that that might also be scrapped? Because the censure at the moment, I mean, that is severe. So would that be the next thing in President Trump's scope?
As the South African Chamber of Commerce in the US, we are a vocal advocate for the inclusion of South Africa in AGOA and the continuation of South Africa in AGOA. We know that our manufacturing sector is heavily dependent on those tariff-free exports so that we could be competitive on a global market. If we are not included in AGOA, it will have a significant impact on our country and its economy. U.S. business have always been vested in South Africa, and U.S. business have played a role in the transformation agenda of our country. But where things stand currently, and I think we need to be honest, if AGOA even exists going forward, because Trump administration made it very clear that foreign aid to all of Africa would be pended for 90 days under a review. And most of that aid came from the U.S. AID program. Now, that program has been shut completely. The whole U.S. AID department or agency has been shut down. So we don't see that that aid's going to follow through, which means by itself or by implication, support on other areas for Africa is not going to follow through. AGOA is due for review and revision in 2025. And kind of the notes that we've seen out of Congress and Senate, especially the comments by Senator Ted Cruz, that is chairman of the very powerful House Subcommittee on African Affairs, said that South Africa is under scrutiny, under more intense scrutiny. We were not in that space in 2023 when we campaigned for a inclusion and a continuation of South Africa in AGOA. And it was already a stretch to keep us in there. This time, we're going to need all hands on deck. And we cannot afford to go with a divided voice. We don't want to see the likes of AfriForum writing letters to tell the President of the United States what their views are. As South Africa, we need to have one voice when it gets to business. We don't want to see the likes of the EFF chanting for white blood to flow in the streets of our country. These things don't sit well with investors. We need to exercise discipline. We need to have social cohesion. And we need to speak with one voice when we address the US on the matter of AGOA and of the continuation of the trade relationship between South Africa and the US.
What is your chamber doing to try to mitigate this, the circumstances? the situation? Are you engage, trying to engage with the US government?
Linda, I can be frank with you. This last week has been a roller coaster ride. When we saw some challenges unfolding, literally Sunday last week, we were confident that we would be reaching out to our contacts and those relationships we have on the Hill, on Capitol Hill, between the congressmen and the senators, the contacts that we still have at the White House. But events have surpassed actions. I'll be heading back to DC tomorrow morning, where I'll be spending the week to meet with the relations that we have. But at the moment, I'm getting a bit of a cold shoulder. And that is disappointing, because where South Africa was the darling of Capitol Hill a couple of years back, we're not occupying that space anymore. And I'm not convinced that as business, we can pull this through by ourselves. We need government support with us. We're going to continue to lobby for South African business and the inclusion of South African business and the promotion of South African business. That is our core mandate, and that's what our membership expects of us, because they represent South African business interests in the United States. But we take hands with our counterparts at AmCham in South Africa. They represent the U.S. business interests in South Africa. And as business, we've got a strong voice in the United States, maybe stronger than what we have in South Africa. But this is not something we could go it alone. We need to get government's backing, and we actually need to see government taking the lead on this one. That's why we've continued to encourage our leaders in both countries to embark on constructive connections with one another's constructive dialogues through which they can address the tension in our relationship, because it is having an adverse effect on the trade and investment landscape. And investor confidence is not where it should be with the political instability. Investors want a stable environment where governments seem to get along. Even though there are various national agendas at play, at least the business landscape should be stable enough for a free flow of capital, and that is not there at the moment.
If there's one key message that you could give to President Cyril Ramaphosa, what would that be?
President Ramaphosa, on behalf of the business community in the United States that represents South African interests, it is our request that you join us in the United States for a roundtable discussion with the U.S. President, with the Secretary of State, not to be bullied, but to set the table for a continuation of a historically very well-balanced relationship. I think at the moment we are talking past one another, and we know that with the leadership of President Ramaphosa and the leadership of our Minister of International Relations, Ronald Lamola, this matter could be smoothed over. It's time to communicate, and that is our request.
Mr. Trump has always described as transactional. What could South Africa place on the table that makes him change his mind?
South Africa is a very important geopolitical player. And if we look at our geographical positioning in Africa, but also being the largest trading partner of the United States in Africa, the U.S. being our second largest trading partner globally, there's a lot that we could do, as President Trump puts it, make the deal work. So we must also acknowledge our president is also a billionaire in his own rights, and he happens to be a very good golfer. Maybe President Trump and President Ramaphosa needs a round of golf at Trump International in New York to have a discussion around this. But I think they are on the same page. They speak the same language. They understand things the same because of their business background. There's a lot of noise happening around us. And I think we are trying to play it out as if it's our relationship with individuals. The U.S. is focusing on those relationships with other countries. As a sovereign nation, South Africa has got the right and should always defend the right to have relations wherever they are within the world, historically and in the future. But at the same time, we don't have to push that narrative every time we engage the United States. I'm sure you've got a group of friends, like I've got a group of friends, and not all my friends always get along. So when I have a cocktail party, I kind of try to not invite two guys that do not like one another to the same party. It doesn't normally go down well. I think in this regard, we are trying to bring friends to the cocktail party that is not necessarily enjoyed by the host, and vice versa. So in that regard, I think one should maybe align our narrative to the audience in which we are engaging. Not saying we should have different messages for China than what we have for the United States. What I am saying is that the relationship with China is not reflective of the relationship with the United States. And we need to maintain those relations. Something we never speak about is tourism. In 2021, the US overtook all other countries as the country that sends the most tourists to South Africa, a position that they've held in 22, 23, and 24. And as we know, tourism is business. And tourism brings in a lot of foreign dollars into our country. We need to ensure that we get our relationship in place, that the average US citizen is also comfortable to continue coming to our country and to spend tourist dollars in South Africa.
Well, Neil, thanks and good luck with that trip to Washington. Neil Diamond, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.